feminism last year.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think September 2013.
How did that come about when you're done afterwards, if you want to talk about that?
Oh, yeah, okay. I can like tangent to that if you want.
Sure.
Yeah. So, I guess I first became aware of feminism after I watched the movie Misrepresentation with my mom.
Okay.
I'd kind of gotten a little bit involved with feminism before that. But not really. I mean, my mom had always talked, like, my mom's a very open person. She's also a lawyer, a corporate lawyer, and she is the vice president. She has been the vice president of, like, an oil company and also another company. But she is generally the only woman in the room because there's, like, no women on the boards of, or executives of oil companies or, like, many corporate organizations. So she'd always be talking about like how she would be looked over, or she would say something and people would kind of ignore it, and then a male colleague would say the same thing and then they'd all praise him, and she'd feel like kind of pushed inside, and like she always had to fight for recognition. So I was very aware of the struggles of gender and stuff like that.
Yeah, my mom kind of had to do the same thing.
Oh
She's
yeah?
also in the corporate world,
Okay.
and she's a CFO of a company, but
Oh.
every picture you see, she's the only woman in the picture. It's just
Exactly.
her and a bunch of men, and she's always having to negotiate and like fight for her opinion to really be heard. Yeah.
Exactly. And I mean, like, it's really unfortunate. So, and even just at home, I mean, like, I remember my mom, you know, she would get home. Like, there's three of us. There's myself, my two brothers. So, like, I meant three, like, children.
Okay.
Anyway, so my mom would get home, and, you know, after, like, a long, long day of work, and then she would go and she'd clean up the house and try to spend a whole bunch of time with us and, you know, like read us all bedtime stories and put us to bed. And then I'd wake up at like 2 in the morning and I'd see her downstairs, like on her computer doing work. And so, like,
That's
she like never
amazing.
slept. But then I compare that to my dad, and that my dad's a great guy, but like you could see the difference. My dad's the CEO of a company, and so he would often be away. Because there was lots and lots of traveling that went on for him. So my mom would have to take care of us all by herself, as well as balancing a full-time lawyer type job, and cleaning. And when my dad was home, he would spend like 2 hours napping while my mom cleaned. And like he cooked sometimes, but not a lot. And he would never be the bad guy. He was always the person who, you know, said, you know, go talk to your mother when it was something bad or whatever. So he wasn't like, he wasn't a discipline type person. And so you could see a lot of the parenting and a lot of the cleaning and a lot of the housework went to my mom, even though she was balancing this huge job. So I was very aware of the dynamics between genders, although there's a spectrum of genders, so the typical gender binary, when I was younger. And I watched this movie and it really struck home with me because Misrepresentation is just an awesome movie. Anybody who has not seen it, please go see it. It's just amazing. Anyway, so I watched that and I was like, you know what? I'm gonna take a gender studies class. So I took Gender Studies 101, and it really opened my eyes to a lot of things, especially Aboriginal struggle. Like, I did not know any of that stuff prior to like joining that class. Like, when I was in junior high, elementary, high school, I learned nothing about First Nations people or Aboriginal people. Like, absolutely nothing. Yeah.
For sure, it's definitely not really a focus in education, I'd say, not at all.
Exactly.
But you know, we are running a
Oh,
little bit out of time.
okay.
But if you just want to tell us your goals for the club in the following year, in 2015, and maybe just a few years to come.
So our goals are to, you know, continue to bring UBC a whole bunch of really awesome events. We've especially got one particular thing we're working on for 2015. We want to bring Bell Hooks, the feminist writer and, you know, role model and icon for a lot of people, to UBC for a symposium. So we're working on that right now. We're also going to do, you know, a few more movie nights, pub trivia, open mics. But we really want to get the general student body more engaged. But we also want to bring all the clubs together around activism, especially clubs that their focus is not particular on activism, like, you know, the Ski and Board Club or Blank Vinyl Project or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like there's this divide. And so it'd be nice if we could all, as clubs, work together to try to make the world a better place. And so those are kind of some of my goals.
I love it. UBC activism domination comes.
Yes!
All right, thank you so much for coming in to talk to us.
Thank you so much for having
lovely
me.
Lovely to hear about all your opinions and ideas. You are a really eloquent speaker, I add.
Okay, thank you.
All right, and up next we have Someday by Tegan and Sarah.
When you join Balloon Club, we guarantee that you will be able to make a balloon poodle within the first day.
Here at the UBC Ant Club, we just like to talk about ants and compare ant farms. It's really cool.
Paperclip Club is all about, well, paperclips mostly.
At Blah Club, you can blah blah, blah 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 blah.
Explosion!
There's only one club worth joining at UBC, and that's CITR 101.9 FM. We got free tickets to shows, whirly pops, professional help in all types of audio engineering, passes to festivals, crazy parties, live band, swag. All types of crazy people. Our programming manager rides a motorcycle. There's freestyle rapping, Nardwar the Human Serviette, the vinyl and record libraries, Discorder magazine, free studio recording, and it sure beats the hell out of Paperclip Club, which is a thing that I just made up because I work at
CITR.
So come check us out on the top floor of the Student Union Building. We got all types of crazy shit for you to do. Or check us out online at www.citr.ca.
The ice cream man is coming!
You're listening to
CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver.
Ice cream man, can I have this? I want this over here, and a toast on by my father, and give me this ice over here, and vanilla cone. Thank you, ice cream man. Thank you, ice cream man.
Hello, hello. This is CITR 101.9. Your hosts for this hour are going to be your host talking right now, Jed, and...
I'm Jenna.
So, what are we going to be talking about most of the hour when we're not spinning great tunes, Jenna?
Just everything that's going on in the AMS, which is the Alma Mater Society at the moment. We're not a club. We actually are the people that oversee this building and are the people paying for the new SERP.
All right, so what makes AMS not a club for the people out there?
It's
not the word society, which kind of like...
Yeah, but quite a few clubs have society, like the word society in them too. It's just the kind of student body. It's like, I think a lot of schools call it the student society, but we rock out with the AMS, which kind of makes it a bit more complicated, but that's pretty much what it is, the student society.
Nice. So we're going to be talking about a bunch of events coming up with the AMS, and also maybe retrospecting on some old ones, seeing how the new ones are going to be like the old ones. So.
Yeah, some reminiscing.
Oh, yes, yes, nostalgia, yes. We're going to hop right into some music for you right now. I'm going to be spinning, let's see, how about, this is a good one. This is actually by a local band from where I'm from, back in like near the San Francisco area. This is one of their older tunes, The Cool Ghouls, with their song Witch's Game. There are a lot of like recent reviews of them. Some will compare them to like other bands that are like, other bands, you know, try to have that kind of 60s psychedelic garage band aesthetic, but they're always the ones that are always like getting reviewed as really sounding like it. Like if you were to put these guys with maybe a record from like the Sonics or like maybe even early Beatles, stuff like that, it would sound in place. It wouldn't really sound like, you know, people now trying to sound like it. So it's a really genuine, awesome
that
sound.
Very confusing.
You know, I'm trying right now. I'm very nervous. I might cry, so stick around for that, listeners. But right now, here is Witch's Game by The Cool Ghouls. Hope you enjoy it.
Thank you. Old or New Testament?
I think the New Testament.
The question is, Pilate. Remember Pilate from the New Testament?
What is Pilate? He fiddled well.
Yeah, no, well, just a minute. Let me ask the question, then you can give me the answer, okay? Did Pilate want Jesus to be crucified?
Yep, Pontius Pilate washed his hands of it.
So did he want him to be crucified?
Yeah.
No. No. No.
Well, tune in every Friday afternoon, 3:30 to the Night Watch Show on Virginia!
Well, find a good church. It'll help you.
Stephen Harper's reckless cuts to home mail delivery are hurting the most vulnerable in our society. Senior citizens and those with mobility issues are disproportionately affected by these cuts, all while Canada Post is making millions of dollars in profit. Postal workers are campaigning to protect quality jobs and public services in our communities. The post office belongs to you. Join the fight today at savecanadapost.ca.
All right. We are back. We just spun for you. That was The Witch's Game by the Cool Ghouls, and after that was Dead Ghosts with Can't Get No. Dead Ghosts are another really good kind of 60s psych-sounding band. This is more of a from the Great White North, actually a Canadian group, whereas the Cool Ghouls are stationed right out of San Francisco, so always good to spin that kind of music on here. So, Jenna, tell us a little bit more about the AMS events coming up. What's like the next big one that people should be starting getting excited for?
Well, during the first week back in January, we're going to throw a winter week, which is like AMS first week take two.
Oh, my God.
I don't know why you said that.
Because it's exciting? I don't know.
No, it's just because, there are a lot of events during the first week. But we're going to cut down our programming quite a bit. But we'll have an event, at least one event every day for the first week back. And obviously lots of free food and free drinks, as in coffee, don't get excited, and other things like that, which I'm really looking forward to. And on the Friday, we're hopefully going to be having a concert. That will be pretty exciting as well. Kind of do something a bit bigger for January because we haven't done that before.
Fantastic. What other concerts going to be coming up? Is it more of like a live kind of music deal, or is it going to be DJs?
I think it will be live music in the lovely Pit Pub. Which actually, there was an AMS staff party on the weekend, and they converted the pit into, it just looked great. Like, I've never walked in there before and been like, this is a really cool room. And I walked in, I was like, damn, they've done good tonight. So if we can make the pit look awesome too for this event, then that will be double awesomeness.
Fantastic. So by the way, you're with the AMS, like talking about like the new sub coming out. So
yeah.
Things like the pit and stuff like that, are they going to be kind of recreated kind of like more in like a similar way in the new sub when it comes out, or is it going to be completely like changed, or what's the plan?
So the new pit is really cool. There's going to be an LED screen. Ooh. Like, it will be the biggest screen in I want to say the, like,
the side
British
of Mississippi
or Vancouver, or I think Vancouver.
It's going to be big.
Yeah, basically, yeah. It's going to be really, really big. So that'll be like a really awesome venue to hang out. And it's going to be clean. And not that the pit right now isn't, but it's just going to have a different kind of vibe to it that goes a lot more with the building. So that's going to be really exciting. And it's the same capacity. And a lot of there won't be a new gallery. So a lot of the programming that happens in the gallery at the moment is going to move to the pit. So it'll be the center. Nice.
Oh, there's going to be no gallery.
No gallery.
No gallery?
I know, I'm so sad.
Yeah, no, the gallery's great. Oh, man, that's actually kind of a bummer.
Right?
But the new pit sounds rad, though, so that'll be something to look forward to.
Yeah, definitely. And there'll be a different restaurant, like kind of a thing called The Perch instead of the gallery, which is going to be pretty posh and cool. But there's going to be some affordable food, too. So hopefully that can just be my new hangout spot.
Yeah, ooh, a posh pit. Yes.
So yeah, you don't use that word in North America, posh.
Yeah, I get it though. It'll be cool. Like, I'm excited to see what that's going to be like. But that's going to be awesome. Looking forward to the winter week, you're saying?
Yeah, winter week first.
Winter week is going to be a rad group of events. Everybody should definitely make it out to that. Especially if you were there for the first week events. They were like fantastic. Like, there was a little bit, some for everybody, a lot of different types of events throughout the week, which was awesome. So the next track we're going to be playing for you, this is a really good, an LA kind of straight rock band. The best part about this group, that's called Dead Sarah, it got the Dave Grohl sticker of approval. Dave Grohl himself said these guys rock and they need more recognition. So he could, you know, he could approve anything and I will play it for you. It does not matter what it is. So this is Dead Sarah with their song Weatherman. Thank you for listening with CITR 101.9.
You sound better every time. If you're looking for tradition, I'm castling my king. When I think about you, my whole world falls in.
Guns and ammunition make bullets out of you. You speak dynamic fiction.
Hello, hello, we are back. Right now we have the AVP external of the AMS. Can you introduce yourself to the people out there?
My name's Jude Krasta, and as you mentioned, I'm working with the Vice President External's Office for the AMS. And basically, just to give you a brief about what we do, we advocate for student issues with the government, with all levels of government, actually. My supervisor, the Vice President External, Bahara Jokar, was in Ottawa last week speaking to the federal government about student issues. And we advocate on many issues like transit, post-secondary funding, and other matters that are of concern to our students.
Nice. Yeah. Good stuff.
It's a pretty fun office. If anyone wants to go by and get their U-Pass, you pick it up from... No, I'm just kidding. That is a joke. Don't get your U-Pass from Jude.
We do get quite a few students asking us for a U-Pass, but yes, the U-Passes come through those machines downstairs in the sub or in the bookstore.
Yeah, but you sit and cut them all, right? Like, you actually make them.
Yes, I make them out of little craft paper with my little easy curved scissors and everything.
Lovely.
But no, they are made by TransLink, and we do have a lot of fun with the whole U-Pass program. Compass cards are coming out soon. That's a fun thing to look forward to.
Yeah, so I'm really lucky because I get to work with you all the time. But not a lot of people, as we're talking, really know what your office does.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of those funny ones.
Yeah, it's one of those offices where we're kind of behind the scenes making sure things keep on running smoothly. We are the office That's right. We are the office in charge of UPass. We pretty much every so often go ahead with UPass negotiations and making sure students are fairly represented when it comes to all issues like transit, even healthcare. We did have we partnered with David Eby, the MLA for Vancouver Point Grey, for the Pine Free Clinic Zombie Walk, because we do know that a lot of our students actually use Pine Free Clinic, and it's a great resource that we wanted to keep open. So it's definitely one of those offices where students don't necessarily see a direct effect, but in the long run,
we
make sure that students are comfortable.
Nice. So do you have any events coming up, or is there anything that you're really trying to engage students with at the moment?
We do have a couple of things. We're just wrapping up from the municipal elections voter engagement campaign. We did have to take a bit of a short run with that one because of the tuition and housing file that did come up. But other than that, we're wrapping up from that. We do partner with Get On Board BC, which is our transit coalition. And we're planning, there are a couple of events coming up soon. One to look forward to is a large-scale event that we are tentatively planning for the end of February to target the transit referendum that was announced by the province. We're thinking of having that as a large-scale information event so that people can come over, get informed, have fun, meet lots of other cool people from other universities, transit unions, and even from environmental groups talking about transit.
Sounds good. Will there be free food?
We're hoping for there to be, because we know that's the number one thing to get students out, especially in February.
Right.
So we're hoping to have not just free food, a lot of free stuff, a lot of goodies, and
free money. I'm kidding.
No comment. We say in the VP External's office.
Yeah.
I cannot accept nor decline that statement.
I can neither confirm. Yeah. But it's definitely going to be a fun event. We're planning to have it somewhere in a really central location for all students to get out to, because one of the biggest problems that we know with transit is that it's hard for students to get to campus sometimes. So we're hoping to make a statement saying it's better to have an event off campus maybe than to have it on. But it's all in the works right now. We are planning for something to engage all our students about it, because they have to vote starting hopefully in the spring. It's a huge thing, more dollars for transit so that we can get better spending and hopefully not have to get passed up 1,000 times in the morning.
That would be really nice.
Yeah, I think it's really interesting too when you're starting to deal with companies that are like legitimately still businesses, but still are the only option for people for transportation.
Exactly. Mm. Like, students shouldn't have to, like, a student living along the Broadway corridor should not have to get passed up by at least on a good day 12 buses before they can actually get on and come to campus. It shouldn't take you 45 minutes from Arbutus from the time you leave your house.
Exactly.
So it's definitely one of those things. I take transit, even though I live on campus. We do a lot of moving about around the city in the VP External's office. And just the other week, we had to head down to Cloverdale in Surrey. Granted, it was a weekend, but it took me a good 3.5 hours to make it from campus to Surrey. And so I definitely feel for a lot of our students who have to make it all the way there.
And it also kind of means that we can't have such a thriving student life on campus you know, things like last bus and last call. And so students are running to get these buses and leaving parties and things so early.
It's a huge problem for so many people. I mean, people want to be more involved on campus. People want to go to things that they can stay a little bit later on for. Like, for example, we have amazing events like last night's a cappella show, The Snow Must Go On. But I do know a couple of my friends were not able to attend because by the time they'd be able to get back home to Surrey or to Richmond, they wouldn't have enough time to catch the last bus after the show. So it's definitely a huge pain for many students, especially those who can't live in Vancouver because of the rent prices. They have to live farther away. So it's definitely one of our main priorities, trying to find more affordable and sustainable options for transit, because not everybody has we're trying to get as many cars off the street as we possibly can to make it a more walkable city, a more pleasant city all the cities to be a lot more pleasant to walk around and a lot more sustainable in that sense.
It's interesting, too, because, like, what's cool here, it's, like, in Vancouver, there's so much student involvement with public transit. But, like, where I'm from in, like, the San Francisco Bay Area, there's a thing called BART, which is Bay Area Rapid Transit.
Yeah.
And there's, like, whenever there is an issue with, like, pricing of how, like, the income of, like, the people working for it, and you understand why they're upset. Like, it's, like, when prices go down, but their only option is to strike.
Yeah.
But what striking does, it destroys pretty much the lives of commuters for, like, those days, because they can't get to work.
Exactly.
It's like, they have to, the people working have to go on strike. The people who rely on it for commuting are losing money from their jobs. It's like, it's a whole, like, issue.
I know, it's a major thing, and we do maintain, the AMS through Get On Board maintains a very good relationship with Uniform 111. They are the union representing the some transit workers working for TransLink, and they have their own issues that they go through when dealing with the transit system. And definitely, I completely agree when it says a lot that that your life could be brought to a halt just by buses and trains stopping. So quite literally being brought to a halt.
Yeah.
But, it's definitely one of those issues that we are trying to focus on continuously. I can say that the past couple of vice president external offices have been focused on the transit issue. We keep renegotiating, and not just with the UPass system, but for a sustainable rapid transit solution along the Broadway corridor out to UBC. It's a standing policy of the AMS to advocate for a single transit solution on campus.
Woo, hopefully it happens.
Yeah.
Well, thank you for joining us again, Jude.
Absolutely, no problem.
And to transition back into the music, something very topical, here is The Who with their song Magic Bus. Thank you very much for listening. This is CITR 101.9. Ah, you get it?
Oh, Thank you.
Well, that about wraps it up for this show. This was your host, Jed, and...
Jenna. Feels weird saying that.
Yeah. But yeah, so again, check out the AMS on... well, can you give the people some links out there to check online?
Yeah, so either on the AMS website or AMS events. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and we're always doing prize giveaways. We have some really awesome tickets to give away next week, so stay tuned with that. As well as, yeah, other giveaways for next semester for all the events we're doing then.
Fantastic. Well, I guess that about wraps it up. Everybody definitely check out